I do want to encourage everybody to read your word. If you haven't noticed, I'm sure you've noticed, but every month we've been doing a Bible challenge where we've been asking those that are willing to read a chapter of the Bible a day. And if you've been doing that, you've been reading a chapter of the Bible for almost a whole year now, so give yourselves a hand if you've been doing that. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness gracious. Please. All right, man, that's good news. That is good news, Brother David. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, guys, that is good news, man. And, you know, I usually don't talk about stuff like this. I usually don't preach like this. But this is a serious time. It's a serious matter, okay? So, as you can tell, the title of today's sermon is Should Christians Vote? We all have our opinions on that, okay? And I'm not here to give you my opinion on anything, all right? Nobody wants to hear that. But what I do want to tell you is what the Word of God says. So hopefully we can make some decisions on that today. Philippians 3 and verse 20 is the very first verse we're going to read. Let me just pray. Father God, thank you for your anointing. Your will be done in this service, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that what needs to be said is going to be said. What doesn't need to be said won't be said, Lord. Thank you that you will guide and lead me, Lord. And your will is going to be done. And we're going to leave here changed people, hungry and thirsty for your word and to walk in obedience towards you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. Amen. So Philippians 3 and verse 20. Let's start right there, guys. But our citizenship is in heaven. Is that news to you guys? Okay. We kind of got like the dual citizenship thing going on, okay? But see, here's the big deal. If you are a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm not saying if your mama took you to church when you were little. I'm not saying if you have some respect for Jesus Christ. I'm talking about people that said, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus Christ, I know you are the Son of God and you died for my sins, and I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Those people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, not perfect people, because there ain't no perfect people here. There's no perfect people anywhere except for Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? But two people that have accepted Jesus, this is for us, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior. We're waiting for that day, for the return of Jesus Christ. Okay? And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So one day, I don't know when, you don't know when, anybody that tells you they know when, they don't know when. But one day, Jesus Christ is going to set up his kingdom here on earth, and he is going to show us how the government should rule. He's going to show us what a real government looks like. Can I get a witness? Okay, so until that day, we're not going to have a perfect government. All right? But as Christians, we follow Jesus Christ. Amen? He is our example. He is the Lord of our lives. Are y'all with me so far? So we're citizens of heaven. Okay? So that would make our boss Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? So we take the Word of God, and we get to know the Word of God, and we want to be obedient to the Word of God, because that's what Christians do. Amen? Okay, so we live in a crazy world right now, and guess what? It doesn't seem to be getting any better. You know, it's getting weirder and weirder, and we all can't wait for 2020 to be gone. Lord knows what 2021 is going to be like. You know what I mean? But I do know this. Hey, if we got Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's going to be all right. I'm not saying that he's going to make sure that everything goes nice and easy and smooth for his Christian folk. Because it's that persecution. He tells us all God's people are going to have persecution. Okay? And we know, man, that Christians go through hard times just like anybody else. Can I get a witness? The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. But God will be there for his people. And that's a wonderful blessing. Because I don't really know what tomorrow holds. But the good Lord does. And he's in charge. He's in control. He's my boss. Amen. And he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He says, I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you strength. I'll give you provision. I'll give you what you need. So yeah, we live in a crazy time. Let's move forward though. Acts 5 and verse 27. So our citizenship is in heaven. Isn't that cool? Okay. But guess what? We're Americans as well. Acts 5 and verse 27. Now what we got here is we got the apostles talking about persecution. They have been commanded by the religious elite, the same group that had just crucified Jesus Christ, gathers up the apostles because the apostles are going around changing lives, man. The apostles are going around doing these amazing things in the name of Jesus Christ. This guy that the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, had just been put to death through the Romans. Okay, so they gather them together, and this is what they're going to tell them. Peter's being the spokesman here. They line them up, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, verse 28, saying, We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Let me just start over on verse 28. Saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name. We told you it wasn't going to turn out good for you guys if you keep talking about Jesus Christ. Okay? And the Pharisees, man, they're in a pickle. They're in a mess, a real mess. Man, because they thought, hey, if we can just get rid of this Jesus cat, then all this stuff will go away. It'll just go away. But man, it's bigger than ever. Okay? Jesus Christ has died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father. And guess what? There's a whole group of folks now that are filled with the Holy Spirit that are going around doing the things that Jesus Christ did. So instead of one man doing all these amazing things, this number's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the Pharisees are like, oh man, what are we going to do? So that's what we got going on here. Saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, if the shoe fits, right? I mean, they did put Jesus to death. Okay, which they didn't want to take credit for that. That's why they had to give him over to Pilate, man. They had to have this Roman thing happen. Okay, but that's a whole other sermon. Verse 29. Now, this is what I want to talk about right here, okay? Remember, we're citizens of heaven. But guess what, man? And that is a wonderful, wonderful privilege, okay? But God has also blessed us and said, you know what? I want you to be born in America. I want you to move to America. I want you to be an American citizen, all right? And that's also a privilege, okay? What a wonderful thing that God has blessed us with. Where we are part of this wonderful place, it ain't perfect. Man, Lord knows it ain't perfect, all right? But we actually supposedly have a say in what happens in our government. You know what I mean? That's a big deal, right? Because that ain't how it is everywhere. And that's not how it's always been, okay? But here we are, citizens of heaven, citizens of America. And our boss is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going to follow what our boss, the Lord Jesus Christ, tells us to do. Can I get a witness? Amen. Give him some praise. Go ahead. So in verse 29... this is where the rubber meets the road, guys. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than man. That's what Peter said. I got to do the right thing. You ever felt like that? Man, I got to do the right thing. Right thing ain't always the easy thing to do. Matter of fact, right thing usually ain't the easy thing to do. You know what I mean? But Pete says, you know what? It would be a lot easier to just walk away and not talk about this Jesus thing anymore. Nope. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because there's a fire inside me. You know, I'm a changed person. I'm done denying him. Peter denied him 3 times. Like, nope, not anymore. I'm not doing that. Okay? Because I'm a citizen of heaven. Okay? And I want to please God more than I want to please myself. I want to please God more than I want to please my fellow man. Can I get a witness? So some might tell us, hey, you know, Christian folks, man, you're so old school. Why don't you get with the times, man? Why don't you just get with the times? You believe in fairy tales and all that stuff. No, it's not fairy tales. It's not fairy tales. This word of God is active. It's alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. You know, some people might say, man, you know, the only thing holding us back from this perfect utopia is these knucklehead Christians believing these old school things, not wanting to get hip with the times. Well, that doesn't affect me, does it? That doesn't affect you, does it? Because we're not here to please man. We're not here to fit in. We belong to the Most High God. Okay? We're not here to please man. We're not here to fit in. We're here to give God glory. All right? We want to please God more than we want to please man. Can I get a witness? So where's your citizenship at? In heaven. And we're also super blessed, man, because we're Americans. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Okay. But let it be known. Let's shout it from the rooftops. I'm not here to fit in with anybody. You know what I mean? I'm not here to try and fit in. I'm here to give God glory. I'm here to obey His word. So what in the world does that look like? Let's go to the next slide real fast. This is going to help us out tremendously because we want to be obedient to our Lord and Savior. So this is what we're going to do. Actually, what we got here, verse 1 is what Christians do not do. Okay? Psalm 1 and verse 1, blessed is the man, or blessed is the man, or happy is the man. Who wants to be happy? I want to be happy. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Now, I didn't realize this till a while back because I've read that verse for years and years and years. But if you look at verse 1, you see a progression or a regression. You see this weird thing happening. Okay, picture this. Here we go. We're walking. We're walking down the street. All God's people were walking down the street. Okay? I see the cool kids over here. You know, oh, man, hey, how's it going, cool guys? You know, maybe they caught my eye a little bit. Hey, what are you guys doing? So I'm walking. Now I'm talking with them, okay? And now I'm sitting with them, okay? Well, that's not a bad thing to do. But see, what I'm talking about is that's how the world gets a hold of us. You know what I mean? Something catches our eye, right? Something catches our eye. Then we start to think about it. Then we pull up a seat. We're like, okay, this ain't so bad. Are y'all with me? And here we are. Okay, so we got to be wise to that. So this is what we got to do. This is what we don't do. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. If I was a voting man, and I'm a voting man, I don't think I'd vote for somebody that sat in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So Christians, we don't let the world... Let me say it like this. We don't conform to the world, all right? We don't conform to this world. We're not going to fit into the world's mold, okay? And see, we're citizens of heaven, okay? So we got a higher calling, okay? Does that make sense? So this is what the Christian man does or the Christian lady does, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's a great feeling, man. I remember as a young fella, young whippersnapper. That's what the kids say. They're like, hey, that's a young whippersnapper. That's how they talk nowadays. But anyways, okay, so anyways, I remember when my mama would say, hey, you need to read the Bible. And I had no interest in reading the Bible. I had no interest in reading, really. But I turned the pages, like, oh, this is kind of boring. But see, when you accept that gift, man, it just comes alive to you. It comes alive to you, man. And if you do not have a desire to be in the Word of God, you need to pray for a desire. You need to pray for that desire and push through it because when you make that commitment, hey, I'm going to read a little bit of the Bible, a million and one things are going to come into your mind. Well, I need to do this. I need to do that. We're going to do what's important to us. That's just how it works out. We're going to do what's important to us. So pick up the Word of God and read it because this is what we got going on. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. That's a wonderful feeling. To actually say, man, I cannot wait to read the Bible. I'm glad it's my time to read the Bible. Oh, my phone's ringing. That's okay. I'm going to read my Bible. Okay. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Okay, so I want to make good decisions, man. I'm tired of making crummy bad decisions. I'm tired of dealing with the consequences of me making stupid, selfish decisions. Can I get a witness? Well, you know what's going to help me make good decisions? Getting in the Word of God, amen, and thinking about it. You know, meditate on it. We ain't supposed to meditate. Christian folks ain't supposed to meditate. It's not talking about that. We're meditating on the Word of God, not meditating on being on the same level as a grasshopper or whatever's going on with all that. You know what I mean? I am thinking, I am chewing up the Word of God and letting it get in my heart. I'm reading this Bible verse and I'm saying, well, what in the world does this mean to me right now? What does this mean to Paul Wright in 1994, whatever year it is? Okay, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Do we do that? Is that how we're making our decisions? Because that's what we're supposed to do, you know? I'm meditating on the Word of God. Hey, it's time for me to go vote. What's this guy got going on here? Okay, I don't know if that matches up with the Word of God. I'm taking all the information, right, church? All the information that I got about these cats, about these guys. I'm saying, well, this guy says right here that he's standing for godly principles. This guy right here absolutely says he is not standing for godly principles. Does that make sense? I'm gathering all my information up, man, and I'm praying, God, Lord Jesus, guide me. But see, I'm going to make my decisions by what the Word of God says. Amen. Are y'all with me? I know this is a weird sermon, man, but I felt really, really strong about doing this. Because I do, I think that it's not only just a privilege to be an American, it's not only just a privilege to have that right to vote, which people died for, you know. People died to give us that right. You know what I mean? Ladies, lovely ladies, you know, y'all couldn't vote till like 1919 or 1920 or something. All guys, people said crazy. But somebody stood up for what was right, man. Somebody was like, hey, this ain't right. What's going on with this? People of different colors couldn't vote. Somebody stood up and said, what's wrong with this, man? Because my good book says there's no male, no female, no slave, no free, no Greek, no Jew. We're all equal under Jesus Christ. So what's with the caste system? You know what I mean? But see, somebody stood up and said, you know what? This is worth fighting for. This is worth dying for. You know? And here we are, man. People paid with their blood for us to be able to vote. So I do take it very seriously. I really do. Anywho, moving forward, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree. This is what I want to be like. This is what you want to be like. But he is like a tree planted by streams of water. You know what's not good? You know what's not good for trees? No water's not good for trees. Yep. No water's not good for a tree. But you know what's really good for a tree? Having all the water it needs. Okay, so I'm talking about that life. That life-giving stuff, man. I'm talking about us being tapped into the Word of God, man. That's going to help me make those right decisions, okay? He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. I like the sound of that. I like the sound of that, Brother Josh. Everything I do is going to prosper. Everything. Well, you know what it's talking about? It's talking about, man, I'm tapped into the Word of God. I'm going to make my decisions based on what the Word of God says. Okay, I'm going to make the right decisions. I'm going to bear good fruit. I'm going to bear good fruit. That's what we want. So, you know, just like in the next, like really soon, man, we're going to be going to the polls and we're going to be voting. Some of us already did vote. I already voted. I hope and pray that everybody goes and votes, and I hope that they make the decisions based on what the Word of God says. And I hope that makes sense. Okay. Look at Matthew 6 and verse 10. This is how we pray. You know, this is, in other words, let me say it like this. This is the template that Jesus Christ told us to follow. His disciples said, hey, teach me how to do them miracles. No, they didn't say that. Hey, teach me how to turn that water into wine. Peter's got this thing going on this weekend. And no, they didn't say that. He didn't say, teach us how to preach and teach because you're such a great orator. They didn't say that. He said, teach us how to pray. Because prayer is so powerful, man. Do you understand this, that we have access to the creator of the universe? That he wants to hang out with us and he wants to hear from us. And because of what Jesus Christ did at that cross, we can talk to the creator of the universe. We can talk to our heavenly Father anytime we want to. Isn't that cool? Because he says we have not because we ask not. Or sometimes we ain't got it because we're asking for the wrong reasons. But if you, listen to me, if you pray and you say, God, your will be done, guess what? Newsflash, his will is going to be done. Right? So check this out. This is the little thing here, Matthew 6 and verse 10. Your kingdom come. This is our little template that we follow when we're learning how to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you guys think God's will is being done in heaven right now? He's ruling. Gabriel's not saying, oh, I don't know. What do you think we should do, Michael the archangel? It's not happening, man. All right? He's in complete control. His will be done. Okay? And see, this is what we're supposed to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. That's where we're at, on earth. Right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will is definitely being done up there. And we're supposed to pray that his will is to be done down here. So the reason why I bring that up is because I've heard this. I've definitely heard this. You know, the Bible says pray for those that are in authority, so I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to pray, God, your will be done with this election. God, and we should, man. We should totally pray. Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's power in our prayer. You know what I'm saying? Okay? But see, we also need to put some action to our prayer life. And I sure hope that makes sense. Okay? But we have this wonderful, wonderful gift that God has given us. The Word of God. And that's how we make our decisions. Okay? That Word guides. Psalms 119, verse 105. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. Okay, so God's Word guide, leads, and directs us, helps us, makes those proper decisions. And then we have this wonderful blessing of prayer, man. Okay, where God just downloads into us. And man, we got to do this. Christians pray. Christians pray. Christians read the Bible. That's what Christians do. You know what I mean? That's what we do. Okay, so in Matthew 6 it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And yeah, we're going to pray, God, your will be done in this election. God, you put the person that you need in there. Absolutely. Because God knows the big picture, don't he? He sees the end from the beginning. He knows what needs to happen. But I've got this information and I'm going by what the Word of God tells me. And so I see this candidate and this candidate. He's like, well, this candidate right here, you know what? He says he stands for godly principles. Okay. So I'm going to take that information and I'm going to go vote. Can I get a witness? I feel like I'm... Never mind. James 2 and verse 16. So we're definitely going to pray. All God's people said, yeah, we're going to pray, Paul. But that's not all we're going to do. We're going to vote. We have this wonderful, precious privilege, man. It's a wonderful blessing. James 2 and verse 16. Don't just say you're just going to pray. All right? If you can do something... do something. And guess what? We live in this country where we can do something because we're not just citizens of heaven, but here we are. We're citizens of America, man. Here we are. Can I get a witness? Okay. So imagine this. You're in a parking lot of your favorite gas station, and there's a homeless fella sitting out there, and you got a fiver in your pocket. You got a fiver in your pocket and a couple ones. You ain't got nothing to do with them, really. You just got them. You got this money in your pocket. Now, here's this homeless guy. And maybe we're making all kinds of judgments on how he got to be homeless and all kinds of stuff that we really shouldn't be worrying about. You know what I mean? And he says, hey, man, I'm really, really hungry. Would you give me a few bucks so I can go in here and get a Debbie cake and whatever? And you're like, you know what I'm going to do? This is what I'm going to do for you, homeless man. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that you stay nice and warm tonight. I'm going to pray that you get your life back together. And here we have a guy that's starving, and you got a little bit extra money in your pocket, and you think you're so cool that you're just going to pray for that dude. Now, we certainly should pray for that guy, right? We should certainly pray for those people. Anybody. Because without God's grace, that was you. That could have been you. Maybe that was you. You know what I mean? You ain't no better than anybody else. Can I get a witness? Now look at James 2 and verse 16. This is James, man. James is cool, man. And one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled. Stay warm tonight, brother. I hear it's going to get cold, and hope you find something for your belly. Be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body. What good is that? Seriously, what good is that, man? I'll just offer a prayer for you. I'm busy. I got to go. So also faith by itself, listen, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That is a bold statement by James. Okay, it is by faith that we've been saved. We know that, man. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm saved. I'm in the family. I need that Savior. There ain't no amount of good deeds going to get you into heaven, right? That's not going to happen. Okay, but God says, the Word of God says, James says, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, Christians do what they can. Do you hear what I said? Christians do what they can. You might not be able to feed all the hungry people in the world, but there's something you can do. There's something you can do. So here we go. Don't just say, I'm going to pray that the right man gets in office. Man, what about you do a little bit of research? Why don't you do a little bit of research, okay? And I'm not just saying watch the news, man, but really dig into get deep, man, and see what these people really stand for. See what their track record's been, so on and so forth. Does that make sense? All right? And I'm not just going to pray for them. I'm not going to pray, God, your will be done. I will do that. But I'm also going to make sure that I get my I voted sticker because I'm going to go do what I can do, man. Amen? What a wonderful, wonderful blessing we have where we actually can vote and put our leaders into office. You know what I mean? And yeah, I know, man, I know there's all kinds of crazy stuff that we don't know about. Believe me, I get it. People trying to steal elections, evil people in boardrooms making crazy decisions. I'm sure there's a lot of weird stuff going on, man. This is what I know, that God is in control. And God has given me this wonderful privilege, you know, so I'm going to exercise that wonderful privilege. Amen? And yes, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, God, you put the right man in office. And I'm going to pray, God, your will be done. And I know that God's in control. And I know that God's going to take care of me no matter what happens. You know what I mean? But I have this wonderful, 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 wonderful blessing, man, where I get to go and vote. Okay. Anyways. And, you know, this is, I feel like we just have to address this. I know it's probably going a little longer today, but I really feel like we need to address this because a lot of Christians are like, no, I'm not going to vote, man. I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm not going to vote for the lesser of two evils. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. All God's people said he's not going to do it. Well, let's see. Like I said, we're American citizens. And we make our decisions by the word of God because we're also citizens of heaven. And the Lord God, he's our boss. And we want to be obedient to our boss. Amen? We want to do what the Lord tells us to do. So I'm in the word of God. I say, well, God, this is what you tell me to do, and I'm going to do it. Okay? I'm going to go exercise my right as an American citizen, and I'm going to vote. Okay? Well, tell me in the Bible, Paulie. Tell me in the Bible where it says Christian folks need to go out and vote. Well, what about this? What about where the Apostle Paul used the blessing of being a Roman citizen? Did y'all know that, Paul? The Apostle Paul? He was a Roman citizen, right? And Rome ruled the known world at that time. All through Palestine and anywhere in these places that the Apostle Paul was going to go, man, these places were connected by Roman roads, man. Okay, so the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel throughout the known world. And you know what? It was a huge, huge blessing that he happened to be born a Roman citizen. And see, he used that to further the gospel. Let me say that one more time. The Apostle Paul was born a Roman citizen, and he used that for God's glory. He used that to further the gospel. He used that to his advantage. Okay? So you can't say, well, I'm not going to vote. Well, you can, but you shouldn't. Because we have this wonderful privilege, man. We're Americans, man. All right? And we have the opportunity to elect folks, man. Okay? And I'm thinking about the future. You know what I mean? I'm thinking about the future. I'm thinking about my babies. I'm thinking about my baby's babies. And my baby's baby's babies. Okay, anyways, moving forward. Just look at this with me real fast. Let's go to the next slide. Yeah, right here. Let's do Acts 22 and verse 25. Just a really brief example of where the Apostle Paul uses this, hey, I'm a Roman man. He uses it to his advantage. He uses it to further the gospel. Okay, so if I got a candidate here who says he's going to stand up for godly principles, and then I got one that ain't so sure about what he's going to stand up for. I'm not sure what he really stands for. You know what I mean? But here I go. I'm going to do what I can do to further God's plan. Remember, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here we are. We get to take a little part in that. All right. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Acts 22, and let's look at verse 25. Acts 22 and verse 25. But when they had stretched him, this is the Apostle Paul again. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, this dude was about to be flogged, man. He was about to be flogged because he was preaching the gospel. He was about to beat him with them whips. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, so we got the centurion here making sure this all goes to order, you know, by Roman law and all that. Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned? Paul's like, hey, newsflash, guys, before you do this, you need to know something, man. I'm a Roman citizen, okay? And I'm afforded some due process here. I'm a Roman citizen, so I need to have my day in court before you go whipping me and stuff. You know what I mean? That Roman centurion was like, what? He freaked out, man. He didn't want nothing to do with that. All right? Here we got the Apostle Paul using the fact that he's a Roman citizen to further God's glory, to do his mission. All right? Hey, man, I'm not a Roman. I'm an American. I'm a Christian American. And I got this wonderful privilege. And why let it go by the wayside? Because, you know, it's like 2 out of 5 Christians didn't vote recently. So I looked at a bunch of statistics and I was like, I'm going to write all this stuff down and blow them away with how much knowledge I got at the front of my mind. And anyways, a lot of Christians, I'm going to say it like this because y'all are bright. A lot of Christians could have voted. A lot of Christians decided not to vote because they didn't like the candidates. Okay, well, I'm just saying, times are serious, man. Times are very serious. Can I get a witness? Let's look at Exodus 18 and verse 21. I hope everyone's doing all right. We're going to wrap things up in just a minute. About the time the muffins are ready. That's right, my man. Okay, anyways, man, praise was awesome. Praise was awesome this morning. The Spirit of the Lord is here. We had a delicious breakfast, and I'm proud to be an American. I am, man. I mean, yeah, there's this. We are really, really blessed people, man. I know this nation is not perfect. I know it's not perfect. But we have this obligation, and I do. I feel like it's an obligation that we should vote. Exodus 18 and verse 21. Real fast, just a little history behind this verse here. Moses gets some great advice from his father-in-law. Moses, think about just a little bit of the responsibility that old Moses had. He was in charge of this humongous group of folks, this huge group of folks. All right, he had to take care of every little thing for them. Amen. His father-in-law come to visit him. Was like, dude, you are just slam busy all day long hearing the people grippity gripe about this and that. And let me give you some advice, Mo. He says, look here. So Moses' father-in-law gives him some really good advice about the kind of leaders we need, the type of leaders that would be good for Moses, and it's the type of leaders we need because, you know what, we should vote, and this is what we need to look for. Exodus 18 and verse 21, moreover, look for able men. Okay, yeah, we need able men. We need people that can do the job. Moreover, look for able men from all the people. I love that part, from all the people. You know what I mean? Because it does not matter if it's a woman. It does not matter what the color of their skin is. But I'm looking for somebody that can do the job. Somebody that can do the job, you know? Because it certainly does not matter what their sex is. It doesn't matter what their skin color is. Just the person that can do the job. Moreover, look for able men, can do the job. From all the people, men who fear God. That's it. Who are you going to vote for, Paul? The guy that fears God. The guy that fears God. The guy that has respect for God. The guy that says he's not going to take advice from the wicked. Okay, but he's going to meditate on the Word of God because he's got some big decisions to make. Okay, and that's the guy that's going to be running my country. Okay, I want to make sure that he's going to stand up for godly principles. That he has respect and fear for the Most High God. Can I get a witness? Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy. Oh, yeah, that sounds good, right? Houston, that sounds good. Trustworthy dudes, man. Trustworthy folks who are trustworthy and hate a bribe. Hate a bribe. That's the kind of leader I want that's not going to be working on side deals, man. I don't want that. And hates a bribe. And place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and tens. So what's that got to do with the price of tea in China? Put it thousands, hundreds. You know what I mean? In your little local elections, man, let's get good godly folks in there. All the way up, man. All the way up. Let's put godly folks in power. You do have a say in it, man. Okay. Well, what if it's rigged? What if it's not rigged? What if it's rigged? Well, my God can do all things. My God can do all things, man. You know, I'm not trying to freak anybody out. You know, but what if this thing's already worked out, man? Maybe the last one was already worked out. But maybe it didn't work out the way they thought it was worked out. You know, our God can do all things, man. And I don't know nothing about nothing, but I do know this God is in control, and he's an awful big God, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to exercise my right. Can I get a witness? All God's people said, can I get a witness? All right. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 3. This is David. Now David went down as the greatest king in Israel. And I believe he was. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 3. This is what David says. The God of Israel has spoken. The rock of Israel has said to me. And he's saying God's talking to me. That's what he's saying. This is what God's telling David. When one rules justly, that's the kind of ruler I want. When one rules justly over men, that's what I want. Someone that's going to be fair. Someone that's not just going to be there for some special interest group. Not just going to be there for someone that's making sure his kids got plenty of college money. Okay? When one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God. So guys, I'm not trying to tell you who to vote for, but I'm totally telling you who to vote for. I'm sorry, military guys. Thank you so much for coming. Man, I love you guys so much. This is probably the weirdest sermon I've ever even tried to do. And here you nice young men are. And thank you so much for your service. I'm so proud and it's an honor to have you guys here. Very much. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, when one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God. Okay, that's the ruler I'm looking for. He's just. He rules in the fear of God. In other words, it's like what Peter said at the beginning of the sermon. I could please men. But I'm not worried about that. I want to please God, okay? Because I'm talking about eternal dividends. I'm not just talking about how fat my bank account's going to be. I'm not talking about making buddies. I'm talking about honoring and respecting and being obedient to the Most High God. You know what I mean? Okay, so let's just wrap things up real fast. Look over here, guys. Three little verses that we're going to go through together. Because I think we should vote. I hope you do vote. We have this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful opportunity. People died to give you the right to do it. 2 Samuel, I already just read that. Proverbs 6 and verse 17. Now, Proverbs 6 and verse 17 is a dandy. It is a real dandy. Proverbs 6 and verse 17. You know what the verse above it says? It says, these are some things that God hates. No, these are some abominations. These are some things that God cannot stand. So we're our citizenship is in heaven. We want to be obedient to the Most High God. We want to be God pleasers, not man pleasers. We're not worried about fitting in. We want to do our part to put godly men and women in power. So this is where the rubber meets the road. This is what we're all here for today, guys. This is what I want to talk about. Proverbs 6 and verse 17. This is the hot button issue. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue. These are things that God hates. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue. God don't like liars. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Let me read that again. And hands that shed innocent blood. Okay, so here I am. Man, you know what? I'm not sorry. I'm absolutely not sorry. Okay? Because I'm not here to please men. I'm not. I'm here to be obedient to God. True story. Okay, we can talk about that all you want to, but this is what God hates. Hands that shed innocent blood. So here you go. You have a decision to make. Who are you going to vote for? Huh? Because one of these guys, and it's always easy for me to vote. It's super, super easy. For one thing, I'm not real bright, and Rachel tells me how to do it. No. No, she lets me bring my... Yes, you did. Rachel, you just got... No. No, check it out. Check it out. I'm not here to mess up anybody's program. This is what the Bible says, man. Okay? So, innocent blood, man. Innocent blood. What's more innocent than a baby in a womb? There ain't nothing more innocent. That baby can't make no decision for itself. And that baby has no control over whether the fact that it's here or not. But here it is. It's a baby. We got this little precious baby. This is all true, man. And I'm totally not sorry. I love everybody here. Proverbs 6 and verse 17, haughty eyes, God don't dig it. A lying tongue, God can't stand it. And hands that shed innocent blood, that's a straight up abomination. He don't like it. He doesn't like it. So I got a little bit to say about that, man. You know? I got one vote. People died for me to have that right to vote. I'm going to take advantage of that. Because I'm not just a citizen of heaven, but I want God's will to be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And he's got me down here at this season. I got friends, I got family, I got loved ones, people I love dearly that do not see things the way I see it. And I'm not here to make enemies, but I'm also not here to make friends. This is what the Word of God says, okay? God doesn't like the shedding of innocent blood. He hates it. So, I'm just saying. Psalm 33 and verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Huh? That's what we're fighting for. You know what I mean? That's what I'm voting for. I'm going to vote for the person that's going to stand up for what God says. Proverbs 13 and verse 22. This is really, we could have just started and stopped and ended with this verse right here. Well, we are going to end with the verse right here. Okay, Proverbs 13 and verse 22, it's a real doozy wallop. Look, Proverbs 13 and verse 22, see, I'm trying to get hip to the kid lingo. I'm trying to get hip to how the young ones talk. A good man, I've beaten that joke to death. Proverbs 13 and verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I want you guys to think about that. Chew on that. So maybe you say, man, you know, I got 30, 40, 50 years, you know. The Lord tarries, man. I don't know how long my heart's going to keep on ticking, but I'm out of here, man. Before things get too bad, I'll probably be out of here. Man, I ain't got nothing to worry about. Those are problems for somebody else. I got old person problems. That ain't my problem. No. A good man, a wise man, leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Not just your babies, but your baby's babies. What kind of world are we going to leave for these kids? Huh? Don't you guys realize that, man, that things are pivoting, man, right now? Our nation can go completely one way or the other, okay? And yeah, I'm going to pray God's will be done. And I'm going to pray, God, you put the man in office that you need in office. Okay, but I'm going to do what I can do. Amen? I'm going to go in there and pull the lever, and I'm not talking about Biloxi. Because, you know, the gambling and all that. And anyways, I'm talking about voting, whatever. Dear Lord God, thank you so much, Father God, for these wonderful, awesome, and amazing young servicemen. Protect them, Lord. Use them mightily. Let their training be easy for them, Lord. Advance them in rate and rank, Lord. Your will be done. Father God, bless this church group, this family. Father God, thank you that we just want to please you, Lord. That we have so much fear and reverence and respect for you. That we're not worried about fitting in. We're not worried about making friends. We just want to be obedient to you, Lord. And thank you, Father God, that we're going to do what you want us to do. And Father God, we do say, your will be done, Lord, and you put the man in office that you need in office. But Father God, let us be convicted to do what we should do as well. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.